Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
About.
Oh my God! Not this again, please.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
There's this feeling out there that the one who was power mad, the one who was megalomaniacal, was you.
Incorrect. I am a professional bodyguard and an international counterterrorism expert. I work around the world for espionage agencies.
But, Sean, you don't.
But I do.
But, Sean, we checked, and you don't.
But I do.
But you don't.
But I do. I've actually been quoted as an expert in terrorism trends and profiles.
Where?
I believe it was a travel magazine a couple of years ago.
And now.
And Rodney on the Rock is sitting home counting gallstones. Is he alive?
Yes, yes.
God bless him.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 17th of May.
Happy Norwegian Independence Day, by the way.
Right.
Big celebration going on. On this date every year, it's kind of a big one for my people.
It's not your people.
Well, I had a dream, remember, back in the day that took me to Norway, and I connected with my people there, and I've always felt a special kinship with the Nords.
Wow.
Right.
I had a dream that I was getting the bottom knocked out of me by Liam Neeson. Does that mean we're together?
maybe it does. Look, if you have an active imagination like I do, anything is possible.
Should I tell you my dream last night?
Yes.
Sure, yeah.
I was in trouble with Cher.
What?
Oh.
I don't know why. Somebody came to me. She's like, Cher's very upset with you.
Oh,
and I was like,
no.
Cher? You mean Cher? And they were like, yeah, Cher. We have to take you. And I said, all right, where are we going? We're going to Cher's house.
So okay. She wanted to see you in person.
Man. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Talk
you
it
did
out.
Something.
So they took me into her living room, and I sat there in a chair, and they tied my feet to the
oh my
chair.
Gosh.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes.
Okay, go on.
It wasn't that good. And then, so I was waiting and waiting, and then after a while, I was like, okay, I understand Cher's upset with me, but what's happening?
Right.
Where is she? If she wants to yell at me, let's get this over with. I don't know why I was just accepting that Cher could yell at me.
Yeah.
Right. Or that it was all right that I was kidnapped to take it to her house. So I waited and waited. And then I started getting mad. I was like, where's Cher? I started yelling, where's Cher? This is ridiculous. And I woke up.
I love that.
So you never found out?
No.
Oh, no.
What could that possibly mean?
I can't imagine that there are circumstances that Cher would even be on your radar.
Right.
Even in the deepest recesses of your mind, would you even think of her?
Right. And she was there. It was some guys with like hoods on that I didn't even recognize.
Yeah.
And that was just me and it was Cher.
And I didn't recognize the guys with hoods?
I mean, I didn't know who they were. It wasn't like they mattered. I couldn't identify them.
Is it possible? I'm stretching here.
Well,
is it possible that you were watching a show yesterday or last night and you saw the trailer for the new Mamma Mia sequel that Cher is in and that at least planted the face in your mind?
Did they show that during the hockey game last night?
Probably not.
Not
probably
audience,
not
no.
Their audience.
Because that's what I watched last night.
Do you think, and this is a reach.
Okay. Look, they're all reaches. I have no idea.
You looked at the clock last night and you were like, oh.
Don't do it,
Ellie.
Don't do it, Ellie. God damn you to... How dare you?
How dare you?
Because it was late. You wanted extra sleep.
I will say that 99% of the time, if somebody says, let me tell you about my dream last night, it's so boring and you always regret it. That one paid off, man.
I mean, but it didn't
that
really.
That one paid off, but it did for us.
Because why?
Well, I can't imagine. I don't know, but it's such a strange dream.
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked it very much. So, now, two things then.
Yeah.
Do you hope for a continuation of that same dream tonight?
Absolutely. I need to find out what I'm in trouble for.
Yeah,
and
okay, sure.
Why shares over me? I mean, right? Why does she?
Yeah.
Well, she did win an Oscar, so she's allowed to yell at you.
Okay. I didn't realize that's how it worked.
And B, and this is a serious question, because some people claim they have the ability to be able to pick up dreams the next night. Like, they have a way to think about it as they go to sleep to make the dream come back.
You mean on purpose? They could actually,
really? On purpose, yeah.
Not heard of that.
I wish.
You and Liam Neeson would be going for round two.
Amen.
Well, keep us posted if you find out what's going on with Cher. I like that. Hey, kids are dumb, right?
Right.
I mean, we can all agree on that. Kids are really, really stupid.
Kids are stupid.
Including me, Kevin, I'm sure, including you, we did dumb, reckless things when we were kids. I mean, I had a...
Not me, but go ahead. You know,
I had a competition one time. I don't remember it, of course, but my parents have told me about it, where we were swinging in swings, and at the very height of the swings, we were jumping to see who could jump the furthest.
Sure.
Out of a swing.
Sure. Everyone did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I, you know, ended up hitting a fence and breaking my arm in two places doing it. I mean,
you don't know when there's a fence there.
Yeah, but you're bad at it.
That's how far I went, by the way. No one ever thought I'd get the fence. But my point is, an adult would look at that and go, hey, you're releasing yourself into the air free falling from a distance of 25 feet or something. Maybe that's going to be dangerous. Don't do that, right?
Right.
It's in retrospect. You know that. Well, The latest thing, it's been going on since last summer, but it's back in the news right now, and I don't recall if we've ever talked about it, but there's a new Facebook post from a mom in the United Kingdom that has parents on alert about the new deodorant challenge. Have we talked about that before?
Oh, people aren't eating deodorant, are they?
No.
Okay.
They're not eating deodorant. What they are doing, Kevin, is they are seeing how long they can withstand the pain of spraying aerosol deodorant onto their skin. Because it's kind of like frostbite. You know, you spray it for a few seconds and it doesn't hurt. Keep spraying it. It hurts a lot. Keep spraying it. And now you're giving yourself second degree burns. The deodorant challenge is doing the rounds. According to this mom, Jamie Prescott in Britain, I seldom do this, but on this occasion, I would like this post spread wide and far for any parents who have children. Please sit them down and show them these pictures. These are the damaging results of something known as the deodorant challenge, which is currently doing the rounds in Yale and literally involves spraying deodorant onto someone else or yourself for as long as possible. It's that simple. The results are severe secondary burns. These pictures below are my 10-year-old daughter's arm 3 weeks on, and she may still as yet require a skin graft.
Oh, wow.
Thin the herd, people.
And if you, but I think that kids think, just like some of these other, just like eating a hot pepper or sitting on a block of ice, they just think the pain is going to be temporary, and then you're going to get up from it, and it's going to be over, and it's going to be a laugh to see who can go furthest. I don't think they realize the damage, in some cases permanent, one can do to your skin when you're talking about frostbite. Now, it is unclear whether this is a challenge that is spreading far and wide. It's like I said, it's kind of back on the radar right now. There aren't a lot of cases. There are some. But this isn't like the Tide Pods where you can't avoid them on YouTube. You
right.
know what I mean? So not everybody's doing it yet, so get on it, kids.
I don't think that's the point.
But, I mean, I guess that's just the type of thing. I don't know how – she's 10, okay? If you're 10, you don't really understand frostbite.
Much worse things.
Turning into second-degree burns, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you do dumb things, Allie, as a kid?
Of course.
Do you remember any?
Well, remember the whole conversation about me wanting a cast, so I would launch myself downstairs
right.
with roller skates.
Right.
But yeah. That wasn't dumb. That's understandable. Casts are cool.
I'm sorry.
You know.
You were too old to snort condoms, though. That came after you.
Yeah, that was after me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think that many people were using spray deodorant.
Same.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I thought it was more roll-on these
days.
Yeah,
same.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Let's start the roll-on challenge.
Yeah.
I know just keep
just
rolling
all
it on.
Day.
I'm not feeling anything.
I know we talked about this on the show before, Kevin, but I another thing that I did, and I think if I remember correctly, you may have done the same thing, which was friends and I used to throw screwdrivers at each other's feet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to see how close you can get to the person's feet. And then, of course,
like steak knives. We did
with
steak
the
knives.
Person yeah. not moving their foot yeah. type of thing? Yeah. Okay.
And then, of course, you know, one time I threw one that went right through the kid's tennis shoe and, you know, punctured his foot. So, I mean, but that's it. How could that not happen at some
right.
point?
Right? I mean, that's a given for everyone.
We're not sharpshooters. I mean, I'm just saying kids are dumb.
Right.
That's my takeaway here. So, anyway, I guess don't spray deodorant on your skin until it burns you.
That's a good tip.
That's good. Yeah. Thank you, Bean.
What if I'm sitting in the chair and Cher walks in with a deodorant spray?
Oh, that's how she tortures you?
Oh, we'll find out.
That's how it is. We'll find out tomorrow. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Give me the dirt.
Right. Okay. Bean makes us guess. We talk to Dr. Drew like we do on Thursdays. Let's see. We have Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who are the writers of a little movie called Deadpool 2.
Wow.
Very excited about that. They're going to be in here. Brad Williams, comedian, our friend, in studio. Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter about this crazy Allison Mack sex cult.
Well, we reported it on the show a couple weeks ago when she was arrested, but now there's been some time to do a deep dive into that cult that she was a part of. And did you guys read the article?
I did.
It's insane, isn't it?
We're going to talk to him about that as well. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Advanced IMAX screening of Solo, A Star Wars Story. And that's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. So keep listening for how to do that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
First, Allie, what's happening on this Thursday?
Remember yesterday I told you about the two Survivor contestants that might have violated their NDA with the show?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They wound up posting a picture together after the contestants are warned, don't even follow other contestants on social media. Absolutely no pictures together because we don't want people to know who the cast is, who made connections during the show, all of that. But then Alec Merlino and Kara Kay posted a picture together with the caption, F it.
So they're not even trying to, they could have just posted a picture and not said anything or not.
Even that they would have gotten in trouble.
I know, but it's almost like they're pointing out, hey, everybody, look what we're doing.
Absolutely. Well, Alec got in a bit of trouble because he's the one that posted it. Sources say that showrunners of Survivor are withholding his appearance fee, not the prize money, which comes out to be about $10,000. And he's been disinvited to the finale episode broadcast where they all come back together and reflect on the season. And another email has been sent to the rest of the cast addressing both of them saying Alec has been punished and you guys shouldn't follow suit.
This would not be good for you.
Real serious about this, you guys. But I guess he maybe got off easy because they're talking about violating the NDA could be upwards of $5 million that you're fined. So,
yeah.
Conspiracy Alley says, well, he didn't win.
Right?
Because I'd take that money.
Right.
By the way, that's a very reasonable request.
Absolutely.
From CBS and Survivor to basically clamp you down from revealing
sure,
anything
of course.
Before
Absolutely.
The show.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they know that. And for him to post F it, you're right. He was taunting them.
Yep.
Right.
I don't like Alec very much. He is my least favorite contestant of a show that
hasn't aired yet.
Even if it was meant as a joke, fewer laughing.
That's exactly true. Very true. You guys remember my favorite contestant ever on Jeopardy. I had a real soft spot for him.
He
yeah,
was a
bartender. Your bartender, yeah.
Yeah, bartender in New York. He wound up winning $411,000 on a 12-show win streak.
Allie would give us updates daily.
Yeah.
Hourly.
Like, listen what Austin said last night, guys. And they're like, you're a loser. Stop reporting on Jeopardy. Well, turns out Austin is currently in very high-level talks with a major cable TV network. He has developed his own idea for a car show for the everyman.
A car show.
And here's the thing. It's going to showcase cars that didn't quite resonate with the public, but they were precursors to cars that became wildly successful. So he's pitching all these different cars that he loved that then failed, but then he's going to point out, well, no, here's what came out after it, even though they said it would never work. It's going to combine his love for cars and American history.
Let me know how that is.
Well, the show is being described as Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives meets Top Gear, and those two shows are hits. So combine them. Two great tastes. It tastes great together. Who's with me?
That's a terrible idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And a dynamic Jeopardy contestant as the host.
Listen, I don't like the hate that you are bringing Austin's way.
Well,
I wish
it's
him
just
every success.
It's got to be a great idea for a show and a great host. And so far, I'm not hearing either of those.
Don't you remember the clips I brought in? He was telling Alex Trebek about, Alex Trebek about his bike and the different names he had for his bike.
He was clever in conversation. On a game show. That doesn't mean he can host a program about cars that didn't make it.
I don't know. I want to replay this clip and we'll see if you change your mind.
Where did you get to be so smart?
Genetics, luck, karma,
school? No.
Not school. Nah. Okay.
Don't be ridiculous.
Right? Change your mind a little bit?
Nope.
He can host anything. Oh, no. The sad bassoon doing scales.
That ends any argument, doesn't it?
I'm sorry, the orchestra has ruled.
That's the last rule.
Oh, God, that is so good. Do we need this? ABC is going to be running a new 10-episode series of Dancing with the Stars Juniors, a spinoff of ABC's Dancing with the Stars, which will follow America's funniest home videos Sundays this fall.
Kids are stupid.
So let me just go over ABC's lineup on Sundays. America's Funniest Home Videos.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing with the Stars Juniors.
Right.
Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Hello, HBO.
I mean, there's a lot of other stuff on other channels.
There really is. Oh, you love dancing and you love kids, Bean. How do you think that'll go?
That's a terrible idea. It's I can't believe great. Austin from Jeopardy is not hosting it.
Again.
Dancing with the Stars should have just retired the show after Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That was the best that has ever happened.
Yeah. He's gone.
I love him so
much. It's real sad. Yeah. I think the finale's coming up. No one is talking about that athlete's version.
Because Kareem's not on it?
Probably very true. All right, some birthdays for you. Speaking of Dancing with the Stars, Derek Hough, Nikki Reed, Jordan Knight, Craig Ferguson, Jim Nance, Bob Saget, and Nine Inch Nails singer Trent Reznor. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
It's time for B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah. B-Mix's guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's guess.
Yes.
This is gonna be the easiest and fastest round of B-Mix's guess ever.
Oh, no.
And I'm not even lying about that.
Oh, no. That's always a bad sign.
Because it involves everyone's favorite band, possibly the biggest rock band in the world and one of the best, the Foo Fighters. It involves the Foo Fighters, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, tickets are going on sale this morning at 10 a.m. at caljamfest.com to see the band on October the 6th at the Glen Helen Regional Park and Festival Grounds. They're joined by all sorts of other great bands, Tenacious D, Garbage, Iggy Pop, and so much more. And I was fascinated on how big the Foo Fighters was, and I was looking yesterday on Spotify, and I want you to come up with, for me, with the 10 most streamed Foo Fighters songs on Spotify. The 10 most popular Foo Fighters songs on Spotify. They have dozens and dozens of great songs that we play here on K-Rock.
Okay.
What are the top 10? Unfortunately, that's the only ones they break down in order is 1 to 10. So if you come up with number 11, I won't know it. I only have the top 10. But let's just go around in order. Beer Mug, you're going to be playing this morning?
Yeah.
Allie McKay, you standing by?
Sure.
Kevin, you're at the head of the table. You get to go first. The most popular Foo Fighter song on Spotify with over 211 million streams.
All Star.
I am sorry. I am sorry. No, it is
what?
Not. It is not
number
All
11.
Star.
It's probably number 11.
I think you're thinking of Smash Mouth.
Oh, right.
Excellent guess. Beer Bug, what say you, sir?
First song that came to mind was Everlong.
It has to be Everlong. 211 million plus streams for
that's
that song,
crazy.
By the way. That's insane. Yes, Miss Allie McKay.
That There Goes My Hero one.
You're going to say... There goes my hero. That is at number five, the fifth most popular Foo Fighters song with over 85 million streams. Kevin, comes around to you.
Thong Song.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Come on!
Again, might have been just outside the top ten. I'm sorry, no Thong Song. Bugsy.
Monkey Wrench.
You say Monkey Wrench?
I say.
Number eight, 49 million plus streams. Did I say eight? I'm sorry. That's number, eight. Number eight. Miss LMK.
Run.
Ooh, what a great song.
That's a great song.
Run is number nine with over 43 million streams. All right, so far so good. Kevin, I'm looking at you.
My humps.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Right?
I feel...
Because neither of you saw that one coming.
Wow. I'm starting to feel like you're not taking this seriously.
How dare you?
All right. Bugs, your turn.
Big Me?
No. No Big Me.
No?
We played that to death for many, many years there in K-Rock, but I guess it has fallen off a little bit as more and more songs have become more popular to replace it. All right, not a bad guess, though.
I heard the elevator music version of that the other day.
It's a great story. Okay.
Allie.
Is someone getting the best, the best, the best, the best of you? Is someone
getting the best? Number three. 165 million plus streams for Best of You by Foo Fighters. Chip, I'm going to need that tape as well.
Yep. Right?
Kevin, you're up.
Gangnam Style.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
Kevin's not playing.
No.
I'm playing.
So you've gotten number one, you've gotten number three, you've gotten number five, you've got number eight, and you've got number nine. Muggs, let's try to fill in some blanks before we run out of time.
All My Life.
How about All My Life? Searching for something. That is number six of the most popular Foo Fighters songs with over 77 million streams. Allie.
Times Like These.
No Times Like These. Good guess. But again, they have so many songs. All right, let's go around one more time. Kevin, this is your chance to get on the board.
Walk Like an Egyptian. Yes?
Muggs, your final guess.
Learn to Mother Effin' Fly.
That is number four with over 128 million streams for Foo Fighters. Allie, your final guess, please.
I'm just going to do a newer one. Sky is a Neighborhood.
Sky is a Neighborhood.
Sky is a Neighborhood.
That is number 10. Great song, too, by the way. 41 million streams. You guys did really, really well. In fact, I think you only missed two.
Was one of them the Pretender?
One of them was the Pretender at number two. So good. Great guess. And the only other one you missed was number seven. Number seven was their song, Walk. Man, you hear those back-to-back, and you realize why the Foo Fighters are such a great band, and that's going to be such a great night out there for Cal Jam. And we got tickets you can win on the program later on today, and they go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right, you guys ready to Star Wars it up?
We are.
Solo, a Star Wars story at the Edwards Irvine Spectrum, May 22nd in IMAX, by the way. It opens everywhere on the 25th. Hit it, Steve.
It's the one-man show. Act out scenes you know. Just give it a go, but don't you blow. Oh, oh. Get in character. Be a serious actor. It's time for the one-man show.
I'm not an actor, but comedic-wise, like, you take serious roles, comedic roles, but, I mean, that's the arts right there, you know, laughter, sad, cry.
Acting! That's going to be in the top 10 at the end of the year. All right, let's start. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to get in on this. We got room for your one-man show. Why don't we start in line two, please? Let's go to Robert. He is in Huntington Beach. He's trying to win himself some Solo, a Star Wars story tickets. Let's find out what he's going to be doing for us.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for holding on and listening. What are you going to do for us today?
I'm going to do the climax to Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
All right.
Here's Robert.
You cannot hide forever, Luke. I will not fight you. Give yourself to the dark side. It is the only way you can save your friends. Yes, your thoughts betray you. Your feelings for them are strong, especially for sister. So, you have a twin sister. Your feelings have now betrayed her, too. Obi-Wan was wise to hide it from me. now his failure is complete. If you will not turn to the dark side, then perhaps she will.
Okay. I really need the whole second half of the movie just to see.
I enjoyed that so much. Boy, is Luke a pussy, too, by the way. What a whitey little bitch. All right, Robert, great job, my friend. Let's try line three. This is going to be Dan Pico Rivera up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dan.
Good morning, everyone.
You think you can beat that?
I think anyone can.
Okay.
All right. Wow, talking smack, Dan.
What are you going to be doing for us today?
I'm doing the scene from A New Hope when Luke and Uncle Owen meet C-3PO.
Gotcha. Love it.
All right, here we go. So first, Uncle Owen. All right, so what I really need is a robot who can speak binary, C-3PO. Sir, my first function was to speak binary with the communication. All right. Luke, come over here. I need you to clean these robots up in the field by midday. Oh, but I want to go to Tosche Station for some power converters. You can waste time with your friends later, Luke.
That's Luke's whiniest scene ever, too, by the way.
It is, yeah.
That was really good. I appreciate you, Dan. Thank you so much. Rob's line one. He is in Newport Beach. Rob, thank you for listening and for holding on. We're doing one-man stories.
What's up, party people?
Hi there. What are you going to do for us today?
Luke versus the Emperor on the Return Jedi Death Star.
Wow, there's a lot of Luke today. All right, let's hear it.
Star Wars.
All right.
Well, there's a lot of characters, right? A lot of scenes.
Sure.
All right, so Luke looks at his hand. Never. I'll never turn to the dark side. You failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi, like my father before me. Emperor, scowling at Luke. So be it, Jedi. Fast forward VHS. And then back. You will be... If you will not be turned, you will be destroyed. Later. Young boy, only now, at the end, you understand. Your feeble skills are no match for the power of the dark side.
I mean, come on.
Is that...
That's pretty strong.
Are we hearing a bunch of lightsabers? Is that what we're hearing there?
That's a lightning.
Electric bolts coming out of the Emperor's hands. Okay, very good. I like that very much. All right, hang on. Let's do one more. Let's go to line four, La Crescenta. This is going to be Brian. Brian, thank you for calling. We're giving away tickets for Solo, a Star Wars story. What scene are you going to be doing for us?
Okay, this is a little dialogue between Chewbacca and Han Solo.
Okay.
For the Solo movie. Chewbacca. Han Solo. Last it up, fuzzball.
Okay. I mean, short and sweet.
It was. I mean, it's a very memorable scene.
It didn't go on too long.
Very well done. All right, you hold on, I guess. Guys, what if everybody got tickets?
What if?
What if everybody got tickets?
Even Dan with that smack talking and not really coming through?
Right?
just kidding, Dan.
I just thought they were all just so fun.
They were. Let's give them all tickets.
If we've got them, I'm saying
the impressions were so bad earlier in the week that we do have a few extra pair of tickets.
Okay. Everybody on hold. You win tickets.
Lucky.
And thanks for playing the game.
It's the One Man Show.
The Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't want to say it's been a while since I've seen Brad Williams, but he is sporting a lumberjack beard now. You look like a completely different Snow White dwarf now.
Well, now I'm going for utter and complete badassness.
Okay.
So, like...
When does that kick in?
I have the biggest little man syndrome, Napoleon complex, whatever. So I'm just going to go full. I'm gonna buy. I'm gonna buy the Porsche.
Okay. Good.
My wife is a ninja.
Right.
And now I sleep next to a dog that weighs more than me. So we're good.
Do not talk about your new wife like that. That is a terrible thing to say. She's a lovely person.
Completely different bitch.
Brad, have you been working out? Also, you look incredibly buff this morning.
Listen, I've been because now, like, not to talk too much about this dog to be one of these people, but I have to be able to compete with my dog now.
Okay. Oh, all right, let's talk about this dog. What kind of dog you have?
Well, it's the kind of dog that my wife decided to get while I was on the road.
Oh,
and
okay.
This is literally a Bill Burr bit come to life, so I don't want people to text me and be like, you stole that. It's like, no, it literally happened where I was on the road. My wife went to a shelter and got a pit bull. And this is a...
Why? Did she want a dog? Was she into the rescue thing?
What
was that?
Both. All. And she sends me photos of like, hey, this is the dog. And I'm like, do you realize that when I get home, there's going to be an animal there? There's going to be something in the bed that has a larger penis than mine. That is not cool.
A larger body than yours.
Yeah, everything larger than me.
Wow.
Did your wife consider the size of her husband when she chose the breed of dog to adopt?
Obviously not.
Or obviously.
Or maybe I was getting too handsy and this is how she puts a stop to it.
I feel like a pit bull could, and by the way, I'm no dispersions on pit bulls. They're sweet, lovely, loving, wonderful pets, and I would have one in a heartbeat, but yeah. I feel like a pit bull could take you down, dude.
Yeah, like basically if the pit bull looks at me and thinks, I wonder if that squeaks, mm-hmm. I'm out.
Yeah, true.
There's nothing I can do.
Do
but,
you squeak on the way or no?
I mean, I did, but kind of like, you can go to Instagram if you're wondering how our introduction went.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Instagram, my Instagram, and see the video. And
Funny Brad? At Brad Williams Comic.
Yeah, at Brad Williams Comic. And I got nervous because before I walked in the door, my wife takes out her phone and goes, I want to document this. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, that's when she thinks she's going to send in the video and get $10,000.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Chip, are you pregnant?
I walked in the door. And he looked at me and just jumped on me and just started licking the heck out of my face. Aww. And it's the best video. I love this dog now.
Now, you used the word foster dog when you came in here.
Yeah, we're not
what
foster.
Part of this is foster?
We're not. Like, I said we're fostering the dog, right. which technically we are. And then everyone commented and said this is a foster fail, which I found out is when people adopt and then, like, say, I'm not letting you go.
I assume that happens a lot.
Yeah, a lot. And, like, here's the deal. I've never slept better. My wife is a fourth-degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Right.
My dog is a pit bull that looks like he's been doing curls in the yard for 20 years.
So you're on the couch.
And I'm just like, I'm good. Bring it on. Come at me, bro.
Your wife got the dog while you were out of town. Does that mean the dog already had a name when you got home?
Yeah, Diego.
Diego.
Diego. That's awesome.
All right.
Diego the pit bull. And I'm like, what? And I know there was a show about dwarves on Animal Planet who fostered pit bulls, who, like, took care of pit bulls.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
It was called Pit Boss. So, like, I'm literally going with the stereotypes right now.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. The next time I come home, I'm going to be wearing the green suit. I'm going to have the pot of gold. Let's just go full stereotype.
This is the voice of our friend Brad Williams here on the Kevin Beach. You can see him at the Flappers Comedy Club this weekend, by the way. Tickets on sale for Friday and Saturday night. Tickets are $20. Flapperscomedy.com. By the way, I don't know what your plans are for the rest of the summer, but Kevin was talking about you off the air yesterday, Brad.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, I mean, there are a flurry of texts
that
have been flying by in the past 2 days.
Okay.
You know, Captain Bad Idea.
Oh, that's my brother-in-law.
Yes.
Yeah.
And John.
Okay, I know John.
Those two guys and Brad and I went to the World Cup in Brazil.
Yeah, did not stop me from getting mugged. Thanks, guys.
Correct. there's a lot of talk about trying to make Russia. I'm just putting that out there.
Okay.
okay, here's what we're going to do. I've got an access to Russia. I know a guy. So we're going to call him up. We're going to get us in. Complete protection. I know a couple of lovely ladies that can come by the hotel and do what my dog does on the couch.
Now, I know that, Kevin, when it first came up and you realized it was going to be Russia, you all got together and you said, it's just too dangerous. There's no way we're not going to do it. And you kind of put it to bed. But now that you're starting to see the ads for the World Cup,
you're realizing, crazy.
You're realizing how close it is.
It's driving me crazy.
You're starting to reconsider it, sounds
like. So I said, I don't want to be the first one to bring this up, but is anyone else feeling like we should be in Russia? And immediately, I got an email with all of the information of the cities where the games were available.
Oh, God.
And the games playing, right?
Almost like he was waiting to send that.
It was really pretty quick.
So I guess what it comes down to, Brad, is are you in?
You in, you out.
Well, here's the thing. I know why my brother-in-law is on this, because in the last World Cup that we went to in Brazil, he was not a father. Now he is a father of two.
Okay, so let me just throw this in there.
So
it's Captain Bad Idea, and it's my friend John and Brad and I.
Yeah.
Captain Bad Idea did at one point text that Katie says that it's going to have to be without Captain Bad Idea.
Yeah. That's my sister throwing in that he's out because he's got two kids. And
there's still three of us. That's the way I look at it.
You ever been to Russia, Brad?
I have. And I went to Russia. Yeah. I did some military shows in Kazakhstan, and we had to stop off in Moscow. And I got attacked while being in a wheelchair.
Attacked?
Yeah.
By
Russia security.
While being in a wheelchair.
Well, like, here's the thing about Russia is, I don't know if this is unions or whatever. If you're in a wheelchair, you can't go in the same wheelchair from the plane to the airport and then go around the airport. You have to switch wheelchairs once you get into the airport.
Okay.
We did not know that.
Okay.
So I had a minor medical thing go on while on this trip. I'm okay.
Right.
It's fine. So, but I was in a wheelchair and no one spoke English, so we just wheeled the wheelchair off the plane and into the airport, and you would have thought that we were bringing in, like, secrets from the Cold War, because we were swarmed by security who grabbed the wheelchair and just start shaking us and, like, trying to get me out of the wheelchair, and Captain Bad Idea is about ready to fight the guy, and, like, because we don't know. Finally, they're, like, screaming at us in Russian. And then finally, someone who is just a passenger who happens to speak Russian and English comes over and, like, translates. Otherwise, it would have been an international incident. Yeah.
Be in Siberia right now.
Yeah, I was about to call Bert Kreischer because he's got some stories.
Yeah, he does.
So he's the machine.
It sounds like you guys need a translator is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Do you speak Russian, Kevin?
Fluently. Okay. I don't even speak English.
Then I'm in.
Brad Williams, Friday night, Saturday night, Flappers at Comedy Club, flapperscomedy.com or bradwilliamscomedy.com. We got to take a break. We come back. We need your help with something. We got to break some bad news to Omar. And I understand while you're here today, Brad, you're going to be picking up the Kevin Amin Instagram account, right?
I'm taking over.
Running for us.
I'm taking over the Instagram. Make sure your knees look pretty, because that's all that I'm going to get photos of.
We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. KROQ.
Imagine what it would be like going into a room and saying, all right, we wrote Deadpool, one of the biggest hits of the year. Now we have to do it again and make it better.
Right.
That is what Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick have done. They'll be joining us in studio to tell us all about Deadpool 2 just after 8 here on K-Rock. First, though, DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning. How are you guys?
First question is, what the hell are you doing on Tinder?
I'm not on Tinder. I don't Tind. I'm
happily
married.
Your wife wanted me to ask you that.
Yeah. I'm happily married.
Is Tind a verb?
No.
Right? I wasn't going to let that go either.
I don't Tind.
You don't Tind?
What?
No one Tinds.
People don't Tind?
No one says that.
You, I mean, oh, really?
I'm sure that Brad and his wife are still on Tinder. I don't doubt that for a second. But
Thrinder.
Thrinder.
Oh, Thrinder. Wow. That's right.
Let's get this right. With no extra sausages.
But, oh, you came in and had been taking a look at some profiles that surprised you. What's the story here?
Yeah, so, you know, we all here try to pitch ideas for the show. We try to be helpful. So I ran across this article on the mirror.co.uk. It's a London website or whatever. And it's an article that says Tinder's rudest profiles. And some of these chicks are super funny. So I brought this to Bean.
Some of them are funny. Some of them are super hot as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I say, Jasmine, 21. She has jugs for days, and it says, "If you could, if you got a sweet tooth, you can taste my watermelons."
Right.
Who's not going to click on that?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Everyone's going to click on that.
Exactly. Right. Thank you.
But look at her.
So why, are you guys not talking about this?
Look
is
at
what
the,
I said.
Look at the picture.
Her picture.
Yes. Yeah. I am looking.
Do you think for a second that's the real person? Do you think that's her post?
That's what's on the profile.
Right. Oh, I know
no.
that.
Okay. Oh the Every person, single yeah. one you brought in.
The person who wrote that looks more like Dave than that
right.
woman.
That's what we're exactly saying.
What's
what
the
I was
point?
Saying,
they're not supermodels.
Isn't Tinder a hookup app?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a boning app, right?
Yes.
Sure. So why wouldn't this be real?
Because do you know how much fun it is to go on an app and get guys to like go insane and like... Yeah, you.
How
you
is that
can,
fun?
You can catfish people
how
like
is that fun?
Amazingly.
We don't, Brad. What's it like?
Well, let me tell you.
Let me tell you.
I'm just taking a look at Cody here.
Yeah.
Cody's super hot.
Yeah.
And it says, just to clarify, I am single and I don't need to chew when eating a banana. This that is not.
Do you know what that means?
That is, I do.
Yeah,
and
we
that
know.
That is not Cody.
That's Cody.
That is not
that's Cody.
Why
that's
do you
Cody.
Think a supermodel would put that up?
Right.
Because she wants to bone.
But
a supermodel, maybe she's having a heart.
Right,
no,
Ali's
no, no,
right.
No.
A supermodel could bone any minute
Absolutely
of any day.
Not. Absolutely not.
What, are you crazy?
No, I'm not. Because we, time and time again, we've taken calls from hot girls
right.
who have a hard time meeting people. So they would hop on this app to just bone dudes.
You know what? Yes.
Just like
that's,
Katie 21.
That's totally
and she
safe.
Writes, we'll show butt pics.
Here's the thing. I will
Come
I,
on.
I will stand by Omar with the hot chicks don't get approached as much.
Sure.
But we're talking about for dates for a relationship.
Yeah.
This is to bone. And
right.
guess what? Hot chicks can bone all day, all night.
Yeah.
They can walk to a grocery store and say, you, boom, let's do it. They are not going
yeah,
on Tinder.
They're not going on Tinder or Craigslist where the likelihood of murder outweighs the
Kristen,
likelihood of being boned.
25. Look what she writes.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to practice their Australian kiss? It's like a French kiss, except you go down under.
You know what that looks like? Please stop making that noise.
Please don't stop making that noise.
Why are you quagmiring under the desk?
Right?
And yes, that's a verb.
Look at the lovely Hope. Okay, she's 20. She
uh-huh.
writes, my name is Hope. The P is silent. The P is silent.
Oh,
Hope.
You see?
Yeah,
the P is silent.
Oh, wants these ladies to be real
they
so
are real.
Much.
Really
Stop real.
Crushing my dreams.
They're supermodels. They wouldn't. What?
You guys
Listen,
are just
I understand,
cynical bastards.
I understand, Omar. You're married. You're a father. You have to look outside for a little stimulation every now and then. So you want to believe this is real.
Listen, all
you
these
want
girls.
To believe.
Have hearts of gold. They're pure of heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they are real.
In our next break, Omar will be explaining flat earth.
This is insane.
Listen.
Sorry to crush your dreams,
you guys
have
don't
you
understand
also found
the
Bigfoot?
Tins. Listen, I know
the
about
tins.
The tins, okay?
You know the tins?
You guys go.
Omar needs it, you guys. Omar needs it. Let's just let him believe
Thank
it, okay?
Thank you. It is real.
Brad Williams playing Flappers Comedy Club. Go
yes.
see him in Burbank tomorrow night and Friday night. Two shows both nights. Tickets on sale now, flapperscomedy.com. You're going to go take over the Instagram right now, Brad, so we'll say goodbye to you.
I will. And Omar, just
yeah.
one more thing. So do you believe strippers actually want to have sex with you?
No, but they love me.
All right. My job is done here.
Hold on.
See you on Instagram.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Ali, this story has everything we love to read about, doesn't it?
I have been
Except
doing...
murder.
Well, that we know of.
That we know
yes.
of, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people in the story did die. We're talking about the Nexium cult. I was off the show for a few weeks, as you know, for medical leave. And when this story came out, I honestly thought somebody was playing Mad Libs. There's no way that Allison Mack, the cute little blonde actress who played Chloe for all those seasons on Smallville, had really been arrested in New York for being part of running a sex cult where she was recruiting other women to come be in the cult leader's harem. I thought, this isn't real life. And I knew there was a lot to the story, but thanks to an outstanding cover story by The Hollywood Reporter, our friend Matt Bellamy is on the line. Matt, first of all, welcome back to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you, and welcome back to you.
Thank you, sir. Your reporter, Scott Johnson, it looks like he's put a lot of time and effort into this story, and it's unbelievable how in-depth it is and how far back it goes and how many people are involved.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we do stories just for you, Bean, and this is one of them.
This is it, right?
Natalie, you too. No, our writers, Scott Johnson and Rebecca Sun, really went deep on this, and they found that not only was she allegedly the a ringleader of this, she was the number two, allegedly, in this sex cult to the leader, and was essentially going out and recruiting women to be in this kind of offset of the Nexium cult that was specifically designed to create a harem around this leader. And they were branding women, allegedly, with this odd, you know, brand that that had their initials in it. So these women had, like, a brand on them. And
think about that. Stop right there.
Yeah.
Think about them holding girls down and branding them like you would a cow, mm-hmm, with the leaders of the cult's initials on their bodies. I mean, this is crazy that this is happening.
They weren't even holding them down, allegedly. This was something that the women were convinced was necessary for them to be productive members of this group. So, you know, when you get into all these issues of brainwashing and, you know, group dynamics, this was something where Allison Mack was allegedly part of a mass brainwashing effort to get these women to believe that they needed to service this leader.
And okay, they had to give up before they even got into this different sect of Nexium. They had to give up either secrets about sex life, being molested, raped, whatever, or naked pictures that they could then hold against them as collateral if they wanted to leave the group.
And we're talking about Scientology, right?
No. But there are a lot of similarities, right?
There are some similarities, although no one, you know, this is a very different thing. But
right.
But what you, you know, You hit it on the head there, because people don't go out and say, you know what, I'd like to join a sex cult. What happens is Nexium had a front. There was a self-help image. There was a personal betterment, and all of a sudden you're taking classes, you're paying money, you're advancing into next levels of this organization, and that's when you get the hard sell from someone like Allison Mack, who has this fresh face, it is this known actress, someone who you end up trusting, and then next thing you know, you're getting branded and you're in a sex cult.
Crazy.
What conclusions can you or did your reporters make about the type of person who would be susceptible to a cult?
Well, that's interesting you say that, because that is kind of why this is a Hollywood Reporter story, because there is a long history of people in the entertainment industry, specifically actors, being susceptible to this kind of organization. And it's the kind of person who is searching for something. They maybe are a little bit insecure. They are in an industry that values looks or is somewhat random in who is successful and who is not. That's, entertainment has that in throughout its history. And they're looking for something bigger. And that's when you get susceptible to being sold a bill of goods. And you are, next thing you know, you are a member of a group that you didn't quite sign up for, but it's something that you had a hole in yourself that was looking for.
Right. And I was really surprised to see some of the other names that came out that I knew in this, like actress Grace Park, for instance, who I think we're all big fans of. She's distanced herself from this. Is she talking about this at all now, Matt?
Everybody has distanced themselves. I mean, from everything we have heard, this group is sort of in disarray at this point. And a lot of these,
I would hope so.
Yeah. I mean, they're now, I mean, she's been arrested and charged. Like, this has now entered the criminal aspect of this. And we'll see what ultimately is proven in court. But there were other actresses that have been approached, mostly sort of smaller level actresses that were either in Allison Mack's circle or were shooting in Vancouver. That's the other thing, is Smallville shot in Vancouver, and there is a community of actors there that are not from Vancouver and are shooting shows there because it's cheaper to make them.
Right.
So they're kind of without a community, and they're away from home. They're a little bit more susceptible to this kind of a sales pitch.
Right. And also her co-star from Smallville, she was what, Lana Lang, Kristen Crook, was also named in the article. She was kind of the one who got Allison into it, right?
Yeah, that's the allegation, is that she, this actress, Kristen Crook, was the bridge that kind of brought her in. But there are a lot of others, too. I mean, one of the most shocking things is the Bronfman sisters, who are the heirs to this giant Seagram's fortune, the alcohol fortune. They allegedly spent about $150 million of the family fortune on this group, flying everyone around in private jets and establishing different groups all over the country and, you know, going down to Mexico and having a compound there. I mean, it's just staggering.
It's amazing. Now, what kind of first of all, what's going on with the leader? Is he in jail? Has he already been tried and found guilty?
He has not been tried, but he has been captured. He was captured in Mexico, and the reporting that we had is that Allison Mack was with him in Mexico and was kind of, you know, screaming and running after the police when they caught him. But there has not been anyone convicted yet, and I think that's what we're going to see play out over the next months and years.
Right, and it's going to be interesting to see what kinds of charges come out of this, because I don't know whether there are going to be end up being drugs involved, there's going to be tax evasion also involved, there's going to be, you know, kidnapping, holding people against their will. I mean, there's just
human
many ways
this... I mean, this is human trafficking. Human trafficking.
So many different ways this can go, but I mean, it's so terrifying. I mean, you never in a million years would look at most of the people in this article that we are familiar with and suspect they could ever be involved in something like this. It's a crazy story that you guys have really broken wide open with this article, Matt.
I mean, that's honestly why we went, you know, we made it a cover story and we put the smiling Allison Mack on the cover, because you look at her and she was this, you know, charismatic, bubbly, fresh-faced actor that you know, was everybody knew on Smallville. And all of a sudden, 12 years later, she's being hauled into court.
Is this story an extreme exception, or are there a lot of things like this, maybe a little lesser, but a lot of cults like this?
Well, you know, there is a long history. If you go back, I mean, depending on what you think of Scientology, some people call it a cult.
It's a cult in our eyes, in my eyes.
I mean, if you watch the Leah Remini show,
yes,
which I do, there are a lot of things in that she reveals in that show that are similar to here. The levels that you have to advance to, the disconnection from families, those kinds of things. And Scientology is very prominent in the entertainment industry because they have made it prominent. They specifically, the leader of Scientology said, we need to recruit actors to promote this religion across the world. And that's what they did. I mean, some people call Allison Mack the Tom Cruise of NXIVM because they're making a direct allusion to Scientology.
But now, do we think that Tom Cruise...
allegations of this kind of sex branding and things like that in Scientology, but there is a similar kind of core.
Do we think that Tom Cruise and also Allison Mack know exactly what's going on, or that they're just being used as spokespeople and they're not really positive about the details?
Well, I have not talked to Tom Cruise about this subject.
You should. Fascinating.
If you talk to people around him, and certainly if you talk to Leah Remini, who was in Scientology and went to a lot of organization events with him, the Scientology that is presented to Tom Cruise is very different from the Scientology that the average member experiences. I mean, he is the king. He is treated in a different way. And, you know, the allegations against that religion, like some of the disconnection from families and keeping people at these base camps and that kind of thing, he doesn't see any of that.
Okay, right. So that's why I asked the question. So Allison Mack, could she use that as a defense? I didn't know most of what was going on in my name?
Maybe, but I think this is a much smaller organization. And in fact, some of the speculation is the opposite, that Allison Mack, because she is so devoted to this leader, she will try to claim that she was involved so much that she's trying to save him.
Yeah, word that she's going to take the fall for him.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Well, look, we're out of time now, Matt.
This is a very different thing. I don't want to make too many allusions to Scientology, because this is a very specific
thing.
It is
different.
These allegations against her are very specific.
Well, it's a fascinating article, and kudos to your reporters, Scott Johnson and Rebecca Sun. They really did excellent work on this. It's a great read. It's the cover story of this week's Hollywood Reporter, THR.com. Matt, it's always great to have you and your perspective on. We appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Back in 2016, a movie called Deadpool came out of nowhere to make over $360 million. In this country alone, you guys?
Yes, in this country alone.
How much you make worldwide with the first Deadpool?
$783.4. Not that we're keeping track.
And you guys get 10%?
You need to be our agent, Kevin.
Those are the voices of the writers and executive producers of this weekend's Deadpool 2. Please welcome back to the studio Rhett Reese and Paul Werner. Hey, boys.
Hello, guys.
Thanks
it's great
for
to
having
be here.
Us.
I know it has been a whirlwind couple of weeks. You guys have talked to every media outlet on the planet because there's been so much change or so much excitement about Deadpool. What have people not asked you about this movie that you would love to share?
Is it good?
Yeah. you know, we keep getting sort of the same question. Like, well, how does it differ from the first one? And there's no good answer to that. I mean, someone said probably the stupidest thing I'd ever heard, which was, it's similar, but it's different. And I thought, I guess that's true. But no, I mean, what haven't they asked us, Paul?
How Ryan likes his foot rubs, I think. How Ryan okay. Reynolds likes his foot rubs, which is really with a lot of...
little tickle with and some deep pressure.
Did you know by the first Friday afternoon of the first Deadpool's release, okay, we're on. It's time to start thinking about another movie. I mean, it was obvious fairly early it was going to be a hit.
There was a moment where one of the magazine writers predicted our opening weekend gross, and he said it would be somewhere between $55 million and $125 million. So he gave himself a $70 million window, and he still missed low. It ended up being $132 million. And so when that happened, we all looked at each other and thought, there will definitely be a sequel. Now, of course,
we were working on the sequel June of 2015, so before the first one even came out, we were starting to kick it around just for fun, not officially. But, you know, we love the world so much. We love the character.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is it about the Deadpool story that you guys, in this character, that you guys fell in love with so much?
Well, he's a self-loathing, you know, self-deprecating, you know, shame spiral of a human being. And they say, write what you know, right?
While we're talking about the original, I would like to run a couple of lines by you, and I want to know which one of you can claim credit for this.
Okay. Or they might be Ryan's.
Yeah. I know, right? You're probably thinking, whose balls did I have to fondle to get my very own movie? I can tell you his name. I can't tell you his name, but it rhymes with Pulverine.
That was Paul Wernick. Yep. Yeah.
That was you.
Yeah, that was me.
I want to die a natural death at the age of 102 like the city of Detroit.
That was might have been me as
Look
well.
Look at you!
Oh my gosh,
that was
you're
an
ad lib
on the day. Yeah,
step
that
it up, Rhett.
Yeah. And who came on, Rhett?
And who came up with Fat Gandalf?
I
think that might be Ryan Reynolds. Yeah,
it was pretty strong.
Apparently, I wasn't around.
You were not a part of any of this
that day.
Foot rubs, Rhett Reese. Foot rubs.
I'm on the foot rub detail. Yeah.
Now it took you guys a lot to get this movie made. You tried doing this forever. When it became such a hit and everyone was clamoring for it too, were you, little part of you kind of saying, suck it, we're going to take our time?
Not a little part, an entire part.
Good, yeah.
No, I mean, we've written in sheer terror, actually, because now the fans love it and they've claimed it as their own, and you don't want to disappoint those people. So we kind of had to climb out of the fetal position even to get to our keyboards.
How many times have you guys heard, when is it going to be done, when is it going to be ready, as far as the second one?
A lot of pressure, you know. I imagine,
from the studio as well, right?
Everybody, yeah. Yeah. They had the movie dated, you know, before we even officially started writing it. So, but that's good, you know. I mean, when you've got a target, and the good thing is, you know, Deadpool's a movie that we can write up until we lock picture. So we were writing lines up until 2 weeks ago. He's in a mask; you can put words into his mouth. So
that's true.
It's like an animated movie in the sense that we could write, you know, up until the very last
Do you
moment,
watch so. The original and think of better lines?
Yes.
All the way through.
No, I wouldn't say so, but there are a lot of sometimes better lines sitting on a floor somewhere because we shoot so many different alternate versions and not only one can make it into the movie. And I think this time on the DVD...
Is that what happened to yours?
Exactly. They're so good. They're so, so good, those poor little jokes.
Rhett, I wanted to ask you to expand upon something you mentioned about Ryan Reynolds being one of the writers on that movie and this movie as well. And so often people go, oh, yeah, you throw the star a bone. Apparently, the dude is as good at writing as he is at acting and being pretty.
I almost would say even better. I mean, he is an entertainment machine. I mean, there's nothing he can't do. We joke that he would be better at the job of anyone on set than the person who's actually doing the job. Like, he's just a brilliant, brilliant, exclusively talented human
being.
I've never met anyone like him. He's Charlie Chaplin to me.
There wasn't a time when you were like, dude, don't you have to be somewhere else? That never happened?
Never.
No, he elevates everything we do. It's a real, real treat, honestly.
But you have to say that.
No.
I mean, I'm telling you, if you ever hang out with the guy...
He makes you hate yourself.
Yeah. I've been cutting since the day I met him.
But then you realize he has to go home to that ugly wife, and you go, okay, at least I've got that, right? Actually, speaking of that, because Deadpool, for both movies, has done some of the most creative advertising, and Ryan Reynolds popping up in the funniest places and making the funniest videos. Like, you know, he was just a unicorn on that Japanese TV show. He had the hilarious video going over to David Beckham's house. Is that all stuff that you guys, is that part of your job, is to write all that stuff? Or is that all Ryan? Or how's all that come about?
Yeah, we're involved in marketing, all of us. We're writing, you know. We did the Beckham spot. We wrote the Celine Dion.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Those are both so funny, guys.
God, though, we wish we had written the Celine Dion song.
We'd right?
Be, oh, yeah. It's the best. God, I've listened to it on repeat like 18,000 times now.
So if you were already writing Deadpool 2 before Deadpool came out...
Yes.
Have you started writing Deadpool 3?
Oh, nice. Good question.
Thank you so much.
And here's the reason.
Has anyone asked you that?
No. I mean, here's the issue. We've got...
Yay!
That's the question no one's asked.
There's going to be an X-Force movie after Deadpool 2, mm-hmm. and we are not writing that one. So we have a little breathing room for the first time. So Ryan's going to get out of the suit. I can put down his feet. I don't have to rub them for a while.
Good.
And we're going to take a little time off. And then we're going to circle back, and we will absolutely be diving into a Deadpool 3.
Okay.
And you two can't wait to get away from each other, right?
Oh, we hate each other. We've known each other since high school in Phoenix.
Is that right?
For 35 plus years.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And crazy. You still get along.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love each other.
Well, you got to tell us how you do it. Rhett Reese and Paul Werdecker here. Deadpool 2 in theaters everywhere. Tomorrow, you guys, more with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rhett Reese, Paul Wernick back on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are the co-writers of a little film called Deadpool 2 in theaters everywhere around the world this weekend. All right, I'm going to ask a dumb guy 101 question, guys. And I know people are going to yell at me. Forgive me. So Deadpool is in the Marvel Universe, the same Marvel Universe as all those other Avengers and everybody else, right?
Well, correct, I guess, technically. It was a Marvel character, but Marvel, when it was a comics company, sold the rights to different movie studios, and as such, it got divided. So all the X-Men universe, which includes Deadpool, is over at Fox, and then the Marvel Cinematic Universe coalesced over at Disney.
Disney's so kind of the Spider-Man thing for a while,
exactly.
Right? Where they couldn't cross.
Yeah, Spider-Man was at Sony, and then they made a deal with Disney to do a crossover.
Okay, so what does that mean for the future? Could Deadpool ever interact with Thor and Iron Man and Captain America and everybody?
Absolutely, especially now that Disney is going to buy Fox. So,
are you prepared for a rated G Deadpool? Is all I'm asking.
No, sir.
Thank you.
Although him playing off of all those other characters
could be really fun.
Great.
Yeah, Captain America and Deadpool could be a pretty fun mix. Yeah.
Maybe we dirty up all of them, right? Get them a little bit to more to Deadpool's level. Thank you.
Now, how did, and again, this is another dumb question. I'm not as well-versed in this as you guys are. So Ryan Reynolds originally played Deadpool back in the X-Men Origins movie, right? And it was a very different Deadpool.
Yeah, it was a disaster. His mouth was sewn up. The Merc with the mouth didn't have a mouth.
Take the best part of his character away from him, right? Is it a miracle in some ways that the Deadpool on-screen story didn't end there? I mean, the fact that he got resurrected into something so great, I mean, somebody had to have some vision to pull that off.
It is a miracle because Ryan then, in between then and Deadpool, went and did Green Lantern, which didn't succeed. So it was an uphill battle. It took us 7 years, right?
Seven years.
To convince them to make that movie. It was really tough.
7 years of a draft that actually ended up on screen. So they were sitting on that draft.
So So Deadpool, the original Deadpool movie that you guys wrote, right. It was finished and it was in the shape that it was shot.
Exactly.
And everybody was saying no to that script.
To that script.
2010.
And in fact, we're saying that the script was the reason they weren't making it. I mean, at the time, because they just thought it was too crazy. They couldn't wrap their heads around it.
You want to tell the Avengers
That's
story?
Insanity.
Yeah, I mean, Avengers came out the weekend that the top executives had the Deadpool script on their desk at home, and Avengers made $200 million, and on Monday morning, they still told us no. It was just, we couldn't wrap our heads around it.
Do you think it was just a thing of them not reading it, not paying attention, or they just literally didn't think it would work in a theater?
Yeah, I just think it was a case of an apple among oranges, and you know, they were eating oranges at the time. So,
and I think it took a lot of years for people, even people in the industry who were supposed to be smart, to get past the fact that there's more than Batman and Superman in the world.
That's absolutely true.
They don't know all these characters, and they don't realize that there's somebody like Black Panther out there that has such a massive audience. I mean, everybody underestimated that movie. Everybody. Same thing with Deadpool. They had no idea how beloved that character could be.
Yeah, and also the R-rated. It's like it's all about quadrants with studios. You know, they want a four-quadrant movie. An R-rated movie isn't necessarily...
What does that mean,
four-quadrant? Which means it expands beyond just, you know...
The four quadrants are women and men and old and young.
So oh, I see.
But they thought, they were worried that Deadpool was going to be a one quadrant movie, young men only. And so, but I think the romance in it and some of these other factors and
romance,
helped it become
that's funny.
A four.
And we grew up on great R rated movies.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you know, Die Hard and
Lethal Weapon.
Like some of the great movies of our childhood.
When
were
I saw it was R rated, I was that made me excited, even more excited to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
Here's a question from a listener. Do you guys ever shoot special scenes for the trailer exclusively? Things that you shoot for the trailer that aren't in the movie?
This happens a lot, it seems.
And it actually did in Deadpool 2. But we would be giving away a huge plot point to let you know which we shot just for the trailer.
Well, don't do that. But you do it on purpose?
Well, I wish we could talk about it. We should come back on once the movie's been spoiled. But we had a very specific reason this time. Usually, they're not shooting directly for the trailer. Usually, what they're doing is they're shooting a lot of stuff, and then the trailer people have to make the trailer long before the movie comes out. So they put it in.
And that's a different company?
It's a company they hire usually. Okay. They subcontract out. But then what happens is the movie gets cut down for time, and whatever you saw in the trailer doesn't make it into the final cut of the movie.
But
so
that's
usually
a natural.
Why that happens.
Interestingly, there are a bunch of jokes in the trailer that aren't in the movie, and that's just because...
That's BS. Brian,
yeah, but it's good, though. I think it's good because it's fresh. It feels fresh.
Were they all Rhett's jokes?
Yes. those poor little jokes.
All right. I know we're going to run out of time, and I'm already sad because this is so fun to talk to you guys. Here's a question I have to ask. So you're, you know, billion-dollar men now with... the success of the first movie and what will be the success of...
Hold, please. Do you guys consider yourself billion-dollar?
Yeah,
oh,
my God.
I mean, sure wish. Amazing.
Okay, back to you, Bean.
I mean, let's face it. You guys are known quantities now who can generate big box office. I guess I want to ask, now do you have the... Is there a project that you guys now have the capital that you can say, finally we're big enough that we can write our dream project and here it is?
I would say yes, but we're kind of not allowed to talk about it. Or maybe we should. We really want to do a movie about new Coca-Cola. Remember Coke's decision?
Yes.
Coke's horrifying decision? We want to make a movie about failure, about horrible failure, and we want to make a movie about Coke's decision to change their formula, have it be an 80s period piece. Studio executives, if you're listening today, say yes. We'll go
and
make
Deadpool's
this movie.
And going to be in it. that's the twist.
Yeah.
Now suddenly they started to hear $1 billion.
That's an outstanding idea.
Anyway, yeah, we just think that era... The Bill Cosby, the Michael Jackson, the Pepsi Challenge. Like it feels like a really ripe you know, material for a movie.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, you've heard what's going on with Cosby, though, right?
And Michael Jackson.
Make sure we
it
all
didn't
know
work
him.
Out for either one, but...
Okay, right. The idea is dead.
Last question for me, and then I'll give it back to the room, and that is, the timing couldn't be more perfect because you've been doing all these interviews lately, and people have somehow squeezed out of you that it looks like there's going to be a Zombieland 2. That's for reals, right?
It is... unconfirmed for reals.
Okay,
if that makes sense.
It
meaning we can't confirm
it's not
it, but
entirely it's, official. But we're on a path.
You're feeling good about it.
We're on a
feeling
path.
Great. We've got a script that we love, that the actors love, that Ruben, our director, loves, and the hope is that we're back in front of cameras soon enough. So,
oh, that's wonderful.
Can you confirm Cowboy Ninja Viking?
That will happen too, almost assuredly at this point. Though
look at
we're a bit in a more of a producerial role.
And Chris
on that
Pratt.
One. But Chris Pratt. Oh. Yeah.
You guys just sit in a throne now, and people come in with ideas, and if they're not good, you have them off with their heads. Is that how it works?
I know. We wish. Yeah.
Mm. Well, Deadpool 2 is what it's all about this weekend, you guys. In theaters everywhere, please go see it. Kevin, you already got your tickets in advance,
yes.
I know. Rhett Reiss and Paul Wernick are the writers and executive producers of the film. We love you guys. Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you so very much.
It's
come
a
see
pleasure
us anytime.
To be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye, guys.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
First, Allie, what's happening?
Well, it's Trent Reznor's birthday today.
Yes.
But he is giving us all a gift. How would you like to hear some new Nine Inch Nails?
Please.
Yes.
Their
new album, Bad Witch, comes out June 22nd, but just released, like an hour ago, a clip of their new song, God Break Down the Door.
Boop-dee-dee-scoop.
Nope.
Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop.
What?
Incorrect.
Incorrect. I actually have it, Kevin. I've got the new Nine Inch Nails.
Do
on
you?
My
okay.
Side. Here
cool.
it is. That's not
Nine Inch Nails.
Wow. Very different sound for Trent.
That's not Nine Inch Nails. This is. I want a different direction.
Imagine being in your car. And being the biggest Nine Inch Nails fan and wanting to murder both of you right now.
I assume that happens on a daily basis.
That is why I am going to end the suspense.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to play the actual
Nine Inch Nails
song for folks who need to hear it.
Thank you.
I want to see some naked dudes. It's why I built this pool.
Again, that is a kid named Brady doing some Blink-182.
Sure. You want to hear Nine Inch Nails? Is that what you want?
No, I don't. We're out of time.
I do. Now play it forward.
That was forward.
Yeah. Again, it's called God Break Down the Door off of their brand new album, which comes out June 22nd, called Bad Witch. Nine Inch Nails, everybody. Nine Inch Nails.
Love it.
Is this on it?
Mr. Boombastic, baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
It's not, but I wish it was.
How about this?
Meet free one day, it's a fun day.
But have you heard the B-side?
Always and forever, each moment with you is just like a dream to me.
That's Rudy.
I mean, they are a lot of variety in this new record.
A lot of range, yeah. Absolutely. You guys done?
I think so.
Are you annoyed?
No.
Okay. What were we even talking about?
I mean,
about?
I have plenty more, but go ahead.
All right. In case you were wondering, hey, am I ever going to hear any Dee Snider from Twisted Sister?
Oh, Kevin, don't you have some?
Any chance I'll get a solo album?
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress.
Pretty good.
Wow.
Right?
That's a departure, too. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Dee Snider from Twisted Sister.
No?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes,
God.
Yes! Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is quite atrocious. If you say it loud enough, you'll always suffer cautious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That might actually be it. I'm not sure.
Love the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. Love. I do it up big on the 4th of July.
Why? Why are you guys
just... How great is male ass?
I didn't even recognize it until
that recorder.
Who played that, Dean?
Someone doing Wrecking Ball on the recorder. I don't know who.
Wow. Okay. I wasn't in for the biopic until I heard that.
Right?
Yeah.
All what are we talking about it. Again?
I don't remember.
It doesn't matter.
90 Snails?
No, that was...
You had moved on. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you were doing Twisted Sister guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. D. Snyder.
Yeah.
With his new song.
I'm a hamster, not a trapeze artist. I'm not a circus act. I'm a hamster. Am I in any way related to the wheel?
Some birthdays for you.
We consider ourselves just a giant roadblock to try and
do
see
ya?
If you can get through what's
we're
happening.
Really
yeah.
Happy birthday, like I said, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails singer. Craig Ferguson, Jordan Knight, Nikki Reed, Derek Huff.
To the ball. I don't care if I
forget the words.
Bring it home.
Never come back.
Here you go.
It's root. Root for the curve.
Sell it.
Yeah. We don't win, it's a shame. Why is one, two, three strikes you're out at the ball game. Let's go, Cubbies!
Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
And happy birthday to Jim Nance. And that's what's happening.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.
Was that a new sex position Dr. Drew was just telling us about? The Jimmy Carter? I'm a little bit concerned about that. Hey, Doc.
Hey, I said the Jimmy Carter treatment is what I said.
Oh, treatment. We didn't hear treatment. I'm sorry. We just said the Jimmy Carter, and I thought you were coming on the alley or something. Hey, you guys, it's our weekly visit with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, drdrew.com, host of the Swole Patrol with lots of great guests.
Catherwood.
Co-host Catherwood is on that one, too. The This Life podcast, the Adam and Dr. Drew show, the Dr. Drew podcast, all available at drdrew.com. So glad we have you on today. We saw what for me was a surprising statistic, probably not for you. Here's the headline from the Los Angeles Times. STD cases in California reach record high for the third year in a row.
Yeah!
I don't know if the kids need to cheer that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What's going on?
We're number one.
USA!
Wait, hold on. You said we're number one?
I believe we're usually number one in syphilis. If we're now, we get close. This is a disease that when I was a resident had been essentially eradicated, and now here it is back in full force. And it's the kind of an illness, you know, that if you don't get it treated when you have the presenting sore, it goes underground, and it's hard to detect. People don't know they have it. It can really have lots of serious secondary consequences.
I have heard of people in history, famous people in history back in the day, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, who ended up dying from syphilis. How does it kill you, doctor?
Well, the sort of classic thing is something called neurosyphilis or tertiary syphilis, where it eats your brain.
Ooh.
Yeah, USA. And so, but some people speculate Nietzsche had that. Some people speculate Columbus may have had that. So it has, and the secondary manifestations can be very protean. They call it the great imitator because it can have all kinds of other manifestations.
But like what?
I mean, growths and autoimmune reactions and rashes and, you know, joint problems. I mean, it can be just a big mess. But that syphilis isn't our only problem. Gonorrhea is back on the rise. Chlamydia.
Gonorrhea seems like the biggest one in California right now.
Yeah, gonorrhea. And, you know, the
it's coming on strong.
And yeah, I know. It's funny. I have sort of I'm of two minds of this. One is like, okay, well, why, you know, I hate the fact that we stigmatized STDs. I worked all those years on Loveline to try to destigmatize it, but I don't want it to be casual. I mean, we shouldn't think of it differently than we think of, say, a strep infection on your skin. Yet, it's something that needs to be prepared for. It needs to stay top of mind. You've got to practice safe sex. You have to get treatment immediately. And part of the problem with gonorrhea now is that there are antibiotic-resistant strains popping up. Chlamydia, of course, has secondary manifestations where it can cause infertility and secondary problems in men as well. And so, you know, these are not benign conditions. And I think my suspicion is some of this is the result of the fact that we have sort of turned AIDS from a death sentence to a chronic manageable illness, and so people have just forgotten about safe sex.
I was 100% going to propose that as my thought as well.
It's same. Like,
it can't hurt you anymore to have... There's no deadly disease that comes out of sex is what most people think when they lay down.
That's right. And yet, when they lay down...
Yeah,
that's what he said.
When they get in that situation, they go, well, I don't have to worry about that anymore because they've solved the big one. Therefore, there's nothing that can't be handled by medicine.
I like the way Bean suddenly starts speaking with biblical imagery. Right? She laid with the man.
Yep.
Bean is all about the Bible.
If you know him, you know that's true.
So, well, yes and no, because, again, these things do have consequences that can be untoward and uncool. And so we have to be very, very serious about this. But I don't know. There's another sort of factor in all this that I don't know if the LA Times made it explicit, but several articles did. There was a real increase in the African-American community, and then the conclusion is, therefore, it's racist. It's like, no.
What?
No, jeez. I know. It's like, no. What that is, I suspect, is that the African-American community doesn't trust the medical system as quite as readily as other populations, and reasonably so, and has sort of been ill-served by it and isn't likely to go to it and, you know, and may not be sort of inclined to go get medical care as easily as other populations might because of a history of mistreatment.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. And that needs to be focused on as well. I mean, you know, I'm working with the Prostate Cancer Foundation, and that's one of our big problems is the African-American men present with more advanced disease, more deadly disease, and aren't as likely to get screened for it. And we just got to get on top of that.
And that means it spreads more readily because they're not getting it treated. So is there a difference, doctor, forgive me, dumb question here, gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia, I'm sure there are others. Do they all present about the same? You just see them?
No.
Oh, they don't?
No. And there's, you know, chancroid and lymphogranuloma venereum and all kinds of good stuff.
Doesn't sound good.
No.
Yeah,
chancroid?
So syphilis presents as a painless ulcer. Painless ulcer.
Painless
so if
an ulcer.
Ulcer that's painful, it's more likely to be herpes. An ulcer that's painless, you got to get checked for syphilis. And after a week or two, that ulcer goes away. And then a few weeks or even months later, you get a rash that involves your hands. And then that goes away. Oh. And then all the nasty stuff starts happening.
Wait, that other stuff wasn't nasty to begin with?
Gonorrhea, vaginal discharge, pain with urination, women and men, sometimes a urethral discharge in men. Chlamydia, very similar to gonorrhea in his presentation. Non-gonococcal urethritis, which are some other bacteria.
Dumb it down, Doc.
There are other bacteria cause a very similar syndrome. And all of them can have complications, prostatitis, tube ovarian abscesses, infertility problems because of the tubes being damaged in the women.
All right, I have two more questions, Dr. Yeah. Drew. Number one, is it in general harder for women to realize a sexually transmitted disease than for men just because of the way they're built?
Yes and no. Because yes, if the ulcer is inside, but no, because they get a lot of pelvic pain and things that a man might not have. And yes, because some of these infections are indolent and can do their damage without any symptoms, and that's where the fertility problems really come in. And most of all, I'm disturbed that I've been chanting about this for 30 years, and 30 years later, I have to review the same material that I reviewed in 1984. It's amazing to me.
And I'm sorry about that. All right, my final question, and this is just a guess, I don't know. Do you think that the reluctance to use condoms for young people is possibly, at least partially, as a result of how few condoms are used in pornography that they are viewing?
There are those that would argue that, but I think you can sort of map, I'm going to guess. This is a pure guess, and please, I may be wrong, but when we start developing what's called pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is a pill you can take before sex that really reduces the risk of HIV transmission, I think that's when you started seeing the turn away from condoms. what happens on porn, I think people understand that's acting. And
what?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kevin. Sorry. I know. But anyway, you may be on something, Bean, and there are certainly plenty of people that believe that is true.
All right. So, safe sex, kids. That's what we're saying. You don't want gonorrhea. You don't want syphilis.
You don't want
chlamydia.
Even more so, don't be afraid to go to the medical system. We see this stuff all the time. It's no big deal. It's easy to manage now anyway, and hopefully it will continue to be. There needs to be more research on antibiotics, you know, to make sure we don't have a horrible resistant strain out there, but that's for the future.
Well, Drew, let me just say, last time I went to get, you know, things checked, my doctor asked if I wanted an STD panel, and I said, oh, absolutely, check everything. But there are certain STDs that aren't even included on that panel. You have to then ask for extras.
Yes,
it's like
do.
A la carte.
Yes.
Why is that?
I don't have an answer for that.
They should just call it the works. Give me the works.
Right. You'd have to ask your doctor what the works would be, because I think there's no sort of standard with the works.
What?
And HPV, you know, you can't really test for that in men.
Right.
And in women, it's the, you know, the cervical cancer stuff that we see. That get that vaccine for HPV. I mean, there's no reason for anybody to have that today, and that's really the one that causes deadly illness, which causes cancer in the cancer of head and neck, cancer of the anus, cancer of the penis, cancer of the cervix. And there's no reason for anybody to get that today. And so the screens are usually just a bacterial swab, and they're oftentimes a gonorrhea swab, and oftentimes a syphilis blood test, and sometimes an HIV blood test. And the herpes blood tests are largely worthless, so please be careful with those unless there's very convincing clinical evidence that the blood test can be confirmatory. Those tests aren't very good.
In your medical opinion, will the HPV vaccine be as common as the ones we get as a baby? It's just going to be included.
It already is.
Okay.
But some parents, for unknown reasons, and the rest of the country looks at us like, the rest of the world rather looks at us as though we're truly insane.
It is insane.
Because it prevents cancer.
Yes.
And it has the safest vaccine profile of any vaccine in history, used worldwide, most countries mandatory because it's so effective, and they would rather the population not get cancer. And yes, it's given, it's a series, and it starts at a young age, and it's given at a young age because it's most effective when it's given that.
Males and females. My last question is, why haven't you talked about STDs before?
Yeah, you really got to talk about this, Drew.
I know, it's so weird. I'm talking about it again. I've only done it for 30 years.
Guys, Swole Patrol, This Life with Dr. Drew, and so many more podcasts available at drdrew.com, plus live appearances that you can always hear our man on the radio middays live from noon to 3, Monday through Friday on 790 KABC. Don't forget, see a doctor in your own home with the Heal app. Download it wherever you get yours today.
Thanks, Doc. They do the STD screens, too, if you need them. They'll do it.
There you go. Thank you, sir. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
Our final look at what's happening with you, Allie.
I'm uncomfortable.
With what?
She's very adventurous and very lovely.
Just say hot.
I didn't even say that. I was just complimenting that she's fun and she's very good on the radio, and you'll have a fun time with her host at a party. That's all.
She's very adventurous.
Hey, it's not all about looks, you guys, with me.
And she's hot.
I like a total package who also happens to be very hot.
She's super adventurous, if you catch my drift. Know what I'm saying? All right, moving on. You guys, huge, huge breaking news just crossed my news desk. Huge.
Do you have a news desk?
I do.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Okay.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
All right. A huge... Okay.
Live, local, late breaking.
This is a tour that is
going
to... And
now, a breaking news bulletin.
Very well. Very well. This is a tour that is hitting North America this fall. And I'm going to give you a hint. Good Morning America calls it the mashup everyone is talking about. Who can be touring together, blowing minds?
I have not seen this story. I don't know this story, so I'm going to guess.
Mm-hmm.
NSYNC.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I take it back. Backstreet Boys
okay.
and New Kids on the Block.
No, they've already toured together.
Oh, they have. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good idea then.
It was a great idea. Well done.
Are they two bands that do fit together, that make sense together, or is the contrast what makes it so interesting?
It's debatable.
Goat Whore.
Okay.
Plain White Tees.
Yes. Kevin.
Great guess, Kevin.
You
nailed
saw
it.
The story.
Great guess.
No, we found out about these two people coming together, and we were like, how is
two
this
people.
Happening? Two people.
Oh, not bands, people.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So this is like when Tim McGraw and Faith Hill got married, boom, all of a sudden now they're touring together as a package deal.
I think we understand two people touring.
Right.
Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert, when they went out together on the road, it made sense because they were dating.
Hit it, Steve.
Nope.
Yep.
Oh, sure.
Yep.
Oh, nope. They got to.
Nope.
They got to.
Have to.
They don't have to.
Have to.
No, they do.
Absolutely. You don't want to rush out. I don't want
to take my time. And that's... I'm putting everything on the line. That's going to be fun.
Is it?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun night.
It is Sting and Shaggy, and lucky us in Southern California. October 9th at the Santa Barbara Bowl. Maybe you want to head to Rancho Mirage October 12th, or you just want to stay in LA October 15th at the Wiltern. I'm just saying.
Mr. Bombastic, baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
I mean, they don't have to worry if something happens to Shaggy while they're here.
Muggs is right there.
Muggs can fill right in.
When I first heard Mr. Bombastic, it affected me in a way that your deep, sensual voice hasn't affected anyone before. I mean, it was... has a man told you that before?
That was said to Shaggy.
That was.
It was the most excited anyone has been about Shaggy, well, since Sting.
Oh, it's just good stuff. All right, you guys, the three CW series will take their final bows during the 2018-2019 TV season. We already knew that Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend were going to be wrapping it up. And that is now confirmed by the network. But we didn't know this. iZombie, their upcoming fifth season, will also be their last.
Huh.
I know, a bummer. So like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend will be the first to finish their run. They return this fall at a later time. They're going to be on Fridays at 9, 8 Central. And then Jane the Virgin and iZombie are going to be held until mid-season. But we were talking about this earlier. It's better that we know a show is wrapping up. They're able to end it in their own way instead of just being like, hey, tomorrow's season finale? That's also it. Our series finale, so yeah. Enjoy it.
Well, and look how many people get ticked off when a show that has a storyline, like Last Man on Earth, for instance, is a pretty good example of a show that just, they pull the rug out from under, and all the fans who were left watching that show were like, hey, how does it end?
It's very true. It is very true. And we talked about this earlier. So many people were sending around all different news-sourced stories about how a woman by the name of Kathleen Kennedy, you know her as the Lucasfilm president. Apparently, she said during an interview with Premier France that a new standalone movie is a go. It is all Donald Glover's Lando Calrissian all the time.
She told that to who?
Premier France. She said, we think that the next spinoff will be dedicated to Lando Calrissian. Of course, there are still many stories to tell about Han and Chewbacca, but Lando will be next. And everyone ran with that story.
Because it's big news.
It's huge news, but then you had to wonder, why would she break that to Premier France? Wouldn't Disney, Lucasfilm, wouldn't they send out maybe a press release, something? Well, it turns out that the translation was incorrect in that story. What she actually said was, we would love to tell a story about Lando Calrissian one day, but it's not relevant. It would be fun to tell the story of Han and Chewie. Another translation was, we would love to tell a story about Lando Calrissian one day, but this is not news.
So it's not what she said at all.
Oops, it's not what she said at all. She had to be sitting there, her phone ringing off the hook, like, oh, but
she
I didn't say that.
I
didn't say that. So, not going to happen now. I would assume someday, though.
Sure.
Lando Calrissian, right?
Sure.
That is
especially
good.
With as popular as Donald Glover is.
Absolutely.
People would want to go see him.
And if you diss Pink on Twitter, she's going to come at you. So there was a video of Pink and a 12-year-old girl that joined her on stage singing a song. And it is beautiful. The little girl is an amazing singer. And Pink's face listening to this girl sing her song to her is just, it's charming and it's beautiful and lovely. Unless you're this douchebag who said, wow, Pink looks so old and should be named Purple instead.
What?
Sir, what? With So she responded with, "You must be from L.A. Well, there are a few people left in the world that choose to age naturally. And I've earned every effing minute of my 38 years. How you looking, though? Because I never heard about you till you put my name in your mouth." She then went on to say,
"Love it.
I am of the mindset that it's a blessing to grow old. That if your face has lines around your eyes and mouth, it means you've laughed a lot. I pray I look older in 10 years because that will mean I'm alive." I love her so very much.
She is
much.
Great.
Ugh. Let's be honest. If I could look like Pink without getting anything done, I would choose that.
Sure.
I really would. Not her point. What?
What?
With the... Some birthdays for you. Bob Saget, Derek Huff, Nikki Reed, Jordan Knight, Craig Ferguson, Jim Nance, and I don't believe we call him asshore, but Nine Inch Nails singer Trent Reznor. Not going to play the clip.
Do you want it? I got it.
Yeah, because that's going to be really weird.
Yeah.
Could
you? Jed the Fish with Trent Reznor. What if your name was Asshore?
If it was Asshore. What if your name, say, was Vagina Patterson?
Why does that bring me so much joy?
It just does.
It's
so great.
It's just good. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. And your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, so we've got Keep It 100. We've got DJ Omar Khan with a look at Jersey Shore. We have comedian Kevin Nealon. We have the creator of Deadpool, Rob Liefeld.
What?
We've got your tickets for Cattle Jam, and we've got your tickets for the K-Rock IMAX event screening of Solo, A Star Wars Story tomorrow.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-R-O-Q. K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.